Good morning. We thank the Lord for this opportunity to open the Word of God. As we do that this morning, Joel has read to us the scriptures that we're going to study. So go to that, please, this morning. That will be the focus of our study, Matthew 28, 18 to 20. As you're doing that, let me give you some items here. As far as research, I have discovered that will really kind of like solidify the need for what we will be challenged with this morning. Consider with me the results of a research done by the Barna Group in December 2015. This is about 7 years ago. Entitled, New Research on the State of Discipleship. Christian adults, the research says, believe their churches are doing well when it comes to discipleship. 52% of those who have attended church in the past 6 months say their church definitely does a good job helping people grow spiritually. And another 40% say it probably does so. Additionally, 2/3 of Christians who have attended church in the past 6 months and consider spiritual growth important say their church places a lot of emphasis on spiritual growth. That's 67%. Another 27% say their church gives some emphasis. Church leaders, though, listen to this, conversely, tend to believe the opposite is true. We don't know what church leaders mean here. It might be the pastors, the deacons, the elders, church leaders as a whole, maybe ministry leaders. They say this, only 1% say today's churches are doing very well. 1% are doing very well at discipling new and young believers. A sizable majority, 6 in 10, feels that churches are discipling not too well. That's 60%. Looking at their own church, only 8% say they are doing very well, very low. And 56% somewhat well at discipling new and young believers. So thus, dearly beloved, pastors give their own church higher marks than churches overall. But few believe churches, their own or in general, are excelling in discipleship. Another part of this research says this. Despite believing their church emphasizes spiritual growth, engagement with the practices associated with discipleship, leave much to their desire. For example, only 20% of Christian adults are involved in some sort of discipleship activity. 20% only. And this includes a wide range of activities such as attending Sunday school or fellowship group, meeting with a spiritual mentor, studying the Bible with a group, or reading and discussing a Christian book with a group. Only 20% of the church does that. Now you might be asking this morning, okay, Pastor, I'm hearing this research. We're in 1 Timothy. Right? How is this connected with our study in 1 Timothy? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm so glad you asked because last Sunday's passage, if you go to 1 Timothy first, read this. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy. And the rest we have studied already. You see the word son Timothy here. We have already emphasized this, that Timothy was called here in chapter 1, verse number 2, a true son in the faith. So we are here in a context of disciple making, right? There's a relationship here that's embedded in the letter that gives us the idea that somebody is discipling someone. Somebody is mentoring someone. Somebody is helping somebody to grow in his spiritual life. And in this letter, it's Paul discipling, helping, maturing by the grace of God, his son of the faith, Timothy. And so when I was there in that passage last Sunday, I was like, oh, I don't want to miss this opportunity to further develop this biblical concept of discipleship. So dearly beloved, would you please let me today, next Sunday, and the following Sunday, delve into this biblical concept of discipleship more fully. Okay, so don't take this as a separate sermon. No, this is still in connection with 1 Timothy, but now more on focus on what Paul was really doing when he says Timothy is his son. That there's a discipleship relationship here that's happening. Because Paul did not start this out of nowhere, dearly beloved. he was reflecting what Jesus Christ literally did when he called 12 men to follow him. He invested in their lives, spent time with them, taught them, ministered with them, ate with them. In a nugget, he discipled them. Jesus then commissioned his disciples to do the same. That's what we see there in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. And I read, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, his disciples, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.'" Dearly beloved, that's the command of the Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples. That's a command of Jesus Christ to us, his disciples today. And that's what Paul exactly did when he became a Christian. We see generations of discipleship from Jesus to his disciples, to Paul, to Timothy, to faithful men, to others. And I've said this before, reached Europe, the rest of Europe, reached America, and America reached American missionaries reached the Philippines, 1923. The first missionary ministry there, ABWE, was my church, Dome Baptist Church, in 1923. They were still ABEO during the time, Association of Baptists for Evangelism of the Orient. Their aim was just the Orient. But then later on, of course, they expanded to the world, Association of Baptists for World Evangelism, ABWE. But then over the years, 1923, it reached to 1990, the year I got saved. So, dearly beloved, if you see that history of disciple making, and fast track 2015 survey, this survey, only a staggering 20% are involved in some sort of discipleship activity. We have lost track of the mission of the church. 80% lost track of what the church must be doing. We are disobedient to the Lord's command. We are busy with a lot of stuff. A lot of Christian stuff. Good stuff. But not really what we are doing, what we are supposed to be doing, what we have been called to do. So today, again, what I've said, it's coming to Sundays. We'll focus on this call of discipleship of the Lord Jesus Christ, considering this as an integral part of our study on 1 Timothy, where the relationship of Paul and Timothy is very, very clear. Disciple making. It is my hope that this study and other studies we're going to have, especially in the book of Timothy, would direct us and would pave the way for us to really kind of like know where CMBC is headed. For us to be able to kind of like solidify why we exist. Why does CMBC exist? And what is the aim of CMBC? What are we supposed to be busy about? I pray that we will be able to maybe possibly even write down our own mission and vision. The CMBC mission and vision. Where we can all rally under. You know, and so that every year we know exactly what kind of activities we do, because that's our mission. You know, and so we as we pray and we meet and we discuss what things we're going to do, that's our kind of sifting instrument of all the activities, because we cannot do all activities here. We need to focus on one main thing that the Lord Jesus Christ had taught us to do, bringing glory to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there are four important things here about the call of discipleship of Jesus Christ in our lives. So I entitled this message, by the way, Discipleship, the Call of Christ. The first thing we notice here in this passage in Matthew 28 about discipleship as a call is this. It's a plain call. When you say plain, it's a simple call. It's a clear call. It is a call to disciple. It's a call to make disciples. Look at the words. Go therefore and make disciples. If you look at the Greek word for the word disciple there, disciples, it means pupil. or student or learners of a teacher, somebody learning from someone about a matter. And we know exactly what we're learning here. We're learning about God and how to live our lives for His glory. And of course, our curriculum is the Word of God. So simply put, dearly beloved, disciple making implies the acceptance in mind and life of the views and practices of the teacher. And again, because we are in this disciple making, the context of the church, of Christianity, the mind and life of the views and practices of the teacher, our teacher is the Holy Spirit. And He's teaching us the Word of God on how we can have a life and a mind like the Lord Jesus Christ. In biblical discipleship, Paul makes it plain. Follow me as I follow Christ. So basically, we're not following just Timothy or just Paul or my mentor or someone who discipled me. We're not just following me. What we're doing is we're all rallying to follow ultimately the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul says. Follow me as I follow Christ. Paul was at the end of the process. The end is Jesus Christ. That's our goal. Jesus Christ. So if we see here the words, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, we see the scope here of this plain, simple call. Discipleship is making learners of Christ out from the nations of the world. Now, before you get all too pressured and burdened, we can't do that, Pastor. We're just a small little town church here in Hazo. What are you talking about, world and nations? Well, we need to begin in our Jerusalem, right? We need to begin here, of course. Then let's see how God works. You know, let's see how God works as He expands. But we need to begin. We need to accept this plain, clear call. But dearly beloved, let's begin with this thought though. How we have neglected this plain call in exchange of the myriad of things that we do. And it's really very important that we know that this is a plain call. Not complicated, dearly beloved. As what we have seen here with Paul and Timothy, it's a relationship that exists for the glory of God, passing on the Word of God to somebody, helping him grow. That's what it is, basically. And the Word of God tells us a Christian is a disciple of Christ as long as he lives. Nobody stops growing as long as you're here on earth. Nobody becomes a super Christian here. Nobody's on a level wherein he would say, I don't need to grow anymore. I don't need discipleship. Maybe you do. But, well, I have been a Christian for 40 years. You know, my pastor was a great reverend doctor something something. Who are you? Do you have a doctorate degree to tell me that? No. A Christian is a disciple of Christ as long as he lives, since he is ever learning the ways of Christ. The disciple will never arrive. Discipleship, then, is a lifelong process of pursuing Christ and his teachings. And for us to get involved in this ministry of disciple making, we must understand the demand for a disciple. He must be faithful. He must be willing. He must be teachable. That's what 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 tells us. Would you open your Bibles there with me? To 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. You therefore, my son, says Paul to Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. By the way, that's a wonderful introduction of this passage, because the very next verse tells us the disciple-making process. And, you know, as a disciple, as somebody who's involved there, you need to be strong. Because you know what? Disciple-making is not easy. It's not for the faint of heart. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes love. It takes patience. It will drain you. But that's why Paul tells Timothy, Timothy, as you begin this, you need to be strong. But strong in the what? The grace. There is grace for this ministry. There's grace, and that grace is found in Jesus Christ. And the things, Timothy, that you have heard from me among many witnesses, here's discipleship now, Paul teaching Timothy, you have heard these things for me, that my doctrine, my life, you've seen my life. You now commit these to faithful men. So we need to have faithful disciples. We cannot have disciples who will not want to meet this week. We'll just meet next month. Or let's see if we can meet. I'm too busy. No, a disciple must be faithful, knowing that this is his call to grow. And so he will need to commit to this ministry, this regular ministry of discipleship in his life. Then, it says here, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So there is a sense here also of willingness to go through this disciple-making process with someone else, with your brother, with your teacher. And it also denotes teachability. You're teachable. When you're in the disciple-making process, you can't be somebody who knows everything. You cannot say, you know, oh, I know this better than you do. You know? You need to be teachable. You need to be open. You need to be a learner. Because that's what a disciple is. You are called to be a learner. And I'm thankful that I have teachers who early on in my Christian life have taught me that even as a pastor, you need to continually learn. You never arrive as a pastor. I continually, even as I studied the Word of God, some of these passages I have read many times, and I've studied many times, I've preached through many times, but it's very true. If you're teachable, the Word of God will always be fresh, and there's always something you learn. And that is the call, the plain call. You need to be a disciple of Christ. Will you answer that this morning and say literally in your heart, yes, Lord, I might have forgotten that. I might have known that. I might have forsaken that part of me. But I'm a disciple. I'm a learner. I need to answer that call to continually learn. But it's not only a plain call to be a disciple, but it's also a personal call. Look at verse number 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Do you see the word you there? No, you don't. But as my English teacher once taught me when I was in elementary, in these kinds of command, she usually does this. She puts a parenthesis there before the go. And he puts the you there. There's a silent you there. You go. You know, I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Because there's no you, but if my mom says, go and, you know, cook rice, I will say, who are you talking to? You didn't say you. No, I understand, it's me, it's you. So here, that's exactly the concept here. You go and make disciples of all nations. Now, let me explain a little bit of the words go, therefore, and make disciples here. As a young Christian, the word go there was a big burden to me. I don't know if it's like that to you this morning. Burden because I felt like I am not like those missionaries who go. You know, I felt like, as a young Christian, I wasn't called to go to Thailand, to Alaska, to Nigeria, you know, to Papua New Guinea, or to wherever. I'm not that kind of a person. So I was like, how does this apply to me? I'm not the type that goes, you know? And so I brushed it off, and I said, oh, God might be thinking of somebody else. Maybe this other brother here, you know? Hey, you go, you know? That song, here am I, Lord, send him. Here am I, Lord, send her. He will serve you faithfully. Here am I, Lord, send him. No, the song doesn't say like that. But let me explain this one here. This concept here. Because this is not just for, this command is not just for super spiritual going Christians. Okay? Let me propose to you, this is for everyone. How is it for everyone? Because I learned the real meaning of this phrase, go therefore. The real meaning of this, go therefore, and this is correct, yes, but the way it's worded from Greek to English might not really reflect the ultimate meaning of this passage. Because go here is a passive participle. Meaning, it's not an imperative verb. It's not the command that you should do, actually. So what is this? What is go then here? It's more correct than to say, as you are going. As you are going through your life. As you're driving to work. As you're cooking. As you're going to school. As you're going to the gym. As you're going to the Katumba sports center, as you're going to the cafe, as you're going through your life. That's what he's saying. As you're going through your life, you make disciples. Now that changes the ball game. Because everybody is going through something, right? Everybody, even you're a student here, you're going to school. You're a mom who doesn't work outside. You're in the house, you're going everywhere. And I'm sure you're going everywhere because you're always busy as a mom. And the father goes to drive somewhere. You're working somewhere, hospital, school, wherever. Everybody's going. Now that changes the ballgame. Now that's for everybody. In other words, as you walk with Christ daily, wherever he puts you or takes you, you make disciples right there. Right there. This is our life mission. And so yes, this verse is for you and for me. This call is not just for pastors, dearly beloved. If that's what we're going to do here in CMBC, you will kill me. And I won't let you. Okay? You will kill the deacons if this is just for the deacons. You will murder the ministry leaders. Or worse, they will leave because they don't want to die early. I heard an amen there. So this is a call for everyone. This is a call for every single person here in this room. Now that takes the burden off of just a few super spiritual people here. Right? Because it's for everybody. Edmund Chan said this. There is a king. There is a kingdom. And there is an urgent task to win and disciple the lost unto his kingdom. You have a mission in life. The call is for you. And the time is now. What's your response? Would you just like be Moses? Who, me? No. Or would you be like Jonah? Not me. I'm going to run away. I'm going to transfer to a church where I'm just going to be sitting down there and do nothing. And I just worship and I'm like, that's it. Or are you going to be like Jeremiah? Why me? Or are you going to be Isaiah? When he says, send me. Anyways, Lord, yeah, I'm going through stuff. So what Jesus Christ is telling us here is this is personal. And he specifically placed you there in that spot where you are, in that job, in that school, in that neighborhood, in this church, because this call is for you. And whoever is around you, those are the disciples that God can potentially give you if you just answer the call today. Because you know what? You can just go and never make disciples. You know that? You can just go through your life and never make a disciple. In fact, sadly, there are Christians who go through life never won a soul. That's sad. That is not what, that means you haven't answered the call. And God is continually calling. You have been deaf. You have been closing your ears and your heart. That is not the design of God for your life, for my life. You must answer this plain call, this personal call of God. But the third thing we learned about this call is not only it's a plain call, it's a personal call, it's a powerful call. Look at verse number 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority, all power has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Meaning, dearly beloved, since he is our Lord, he is our Master, he is our Savior, we can tap on that power. We have that power in us today through the Holy Spirit. That's why Acts chapter 1 verse 8 tells us that ye shall receive power. We are not left by the Lord Jesus Christ to do this on our own power, on our own wisdom. I'm sure by now you feel the pressure, the stress, the burden of this call. You're thinking, what am I going to do? Am I able to do this? Can I really fit this in into my schedule? I'm a mother. I'm a wife. I'm a sister. I'm like this. I can't do that. And you're just smiling there right now, but maybe your mind's already running. This is the 21st century. We have been taught to go and do a lot of things in one time. And maybe disciple making, do I have time? Do I need to do this? Or do I just need to change church to keep my lifestyle this way? Dearly beloved, we understand this is an audacious work. It's glocal. right? That's what my friend would say, global. It's global, but it's also local. It's audacious, I'm telling you. It's big. This is huge. We are a part of this big plan of God for the salvation, redemption of humanity. How can you do this in the midst of being a parent, a wife, husband, and all this? Well, you have the strength, the energy to do this in the midst of the many essential things I do, Pastor. You're just a pastor. I don't even know where to start. I don't know what to give up because it seems like the list are all important. Jesus Christ did not leave us to do such a ginormous task without giving us the thing that we need the most, the power. The power. All power, he says. Not just some power. Not just power for Sunday. Not just power to do what parenting should be like or this. All power is given to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a privilege. It's competency. It's capacity. It's force. Christ is the source of our power for this call. And since our lives is in Christ, remember what Paul says to the Galatian believers. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and died for me. We live our lives in Jesus Christ. So this power is available for us. You might be saying, Pastor, I'm 75. Do you understand that? 7 and 5. Or maybe this morning you say, I'm 15, 1, 5. What can I do? You can do this because we have the power. And of course, we need maybe some training. You know, we need to meet and sit down. What does it really mean on a very grassroots level? What does it mean to disciple, really, Pastor? Yes, we need to have those kinds of meetings and discussions and a lot of prayer and restructuring of our church. And that, of course, we don't want to murder you too. You know? We don't want to overextend you so that you don't have any more sanity in your life. Because that's important, right? Today, we need to be sane. But we have the power. And we have the Word of God to guide us. Don't believe the lie of the devil, please, dearly beloved. And the flesh, telling us that we cannot do this. You can do it. I can do it. Because Christ empowers us. When Christ commands us, He also empowers us so that we can victoriously obey Him. Listen, Christ never commands us to do something that we cannot do. Because He doesn't give us the power. He knows. We can never do anything without Him. Remember that? So we have Him. We can do this. 1 Corinthians 4:20 tells us these very encouraging words. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. Talking about the kingdom and the king. We have the king to follow. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. You see that? These are not just mere talks. We have power. The kingdom where we belong is a powerful kingdom. We have a powerful king. With Christ's power, we will then need to see how our church can obey this command. On a corporate level, yes, we need to study this. We need to pray for this. We need to see how we can apply this. And also, we need to see on an individual level, like, if you label yourself as a regular Christian, Pastor, I'm not really a ministry leader, I'm just a regular Christian, how is this applied to you? We will need to talk about that too. How do we do this on those two levels? We will need to make the main thing the main thing. CMBC must focus on the main thing. And yes, as I said, we will have meetings, we will have training, we will need to design a mechanism to move this forward, and every church is different. Every church is different, but every church has the same command from Jesus. But today, it's sufficient for us to know these things first. First, the Holy Spirit is there to empower us. We shall receive power. Then we have the gospel. Do not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the what? The power. So if you're thinking, I don't know even how to teach, what am I going to teach? Rah! You know? Hold on. Do you have a Bible? Yes or no? Yes. Do you have the ability to open your Bible like this? Yes or no? Yes. Can you read? Yes or no? Yes. Can you understand English? If you can't, I have other Bibles, maybe in Filipino, that you can use. But I'm sure the answer to the question is yes. We have the Spirit, we have the Word of God. Then, dearly beloved, we can do this. We can do this. This is what God wants us to do, and He has empowered us already. What we just need to do this morning is to answer that call. To surrender to Christ. To answer His plain call, His powerful call, His, what's the other one? The personal call, but lastly, the pivotal call. It's a pivotal call. Pivotal call. Look at the words here that we have. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things they have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Before I go to the pivotal call here, exactly where we should be, let me just give a few things here as far as notes on the following words: baptizing, teaching. Baptizing here is not an imperative command as well, but more on that what results when you're making discipleship. You see, when a person gets saved, the first thing that you must, of course, teach that person is to obey the Lord, to live a life of obedience to God. And one of the things that must be emphasized is obedience to His Word. And the Word is clear. It's commanded that you must be baptized. You must show to the world the relationship now that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's a result. So you baptize them. That's just a specific way of saying something in general. Teach him how to obey the Lord. Baptizing him in the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Spirit. Teaching here is another command. So making disciples go hand in hand with teaching. In other words, you cannot separate them. Making disciples is not making disciples without teaching the Word. Okay? If you and I just spend coffee time and just talk about the Panthers or whatever, or we talk about Sydney, or we talk about other food, and there's no teaching of the Word of God, that's not discipleship. That you can do that too, because that's a part of building relationships. That's an important integral part of disciple making. But the crucial thing here is that as you're building your relationship with them, there must be teaching. Teaching what? To observe some things? A few things? No. All things. That's why I'm telling you, dearly beloved, we have a curriculum. It takes a lifetime to study the Word of God. Teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And the promise is Jesus Christ will be with you. Always. Even to the end of the age. And that's where we get the point. It's a pivotal call. Because this call was not just for them there during this time, right? Jesus Christ talks about to the end of the age. So we have His concept that disciple making will continue up until the Lord Jesus Christ returns. You see the point? He will be with us because 2021, 2022, we'll be here, we'll be discipling. If He tarries, we'll be continually discipling. It's a pivotal call because here's what Jonathan Dodson says. There's a discipleship crisis in the church today. In the U.S., this church, this year I mean, 3,500 churches will close this month. 1,500 pastors will leave the ministry, and today, approximately, during this time of research, 7,575 people will move on from church. Of those who move on, some never affiliate with a religion again, saying they just gradually drifted away from religion. In the UK, Steve Doughty published an update on December 11, 2012. This is like 10 years ago. How much more now? But Christianity has declined sharply over the past decade. Numbers who choose to call themselves Christians fell by more than 4 million. Fewer than 6 out of 10, or 59%, now describe themselves as Christian. A decade ago, nearly 3/4, 72%, did so. Wow, from 72% a decade ago to 59%. Edmund Chan says this about the situation right now. Chronic spiritual infancy. Do you see this problem in church? Chronic spiritual infancy is the ecclesiastical norm. Superficiality, immaturity, and carnality characterize many Christians. Many church members don't grow towards spiritual maturity, much less reproduce spiritually. Chronic spiritual infancy. And here's the concern. Since this is a disciple making of all ages, all eras, if we don't intentionally, that's an important word there, intentionally disciple today, we will lose the next generation tomorrow. How many generations does it take to have a disconnect to the next generation? Just one. Just one generation who will not disciple, and you will have the next generation lost. In fact, my youth group growing up, we were 150 or so in the youth group. When I left the Philippines, I only know maybe 3 or 4 of them still faithfully going to church. What happened? But Ken Ham and Britt Beamer discovered this in a survey that they did. Only 11% of those who had left the church did so during the college years. Only 11% left during their college years. Almost 90% of them were lost in middle school and high school. You will see the point later on. But 40% left the church during the elementary and middle school years. We have some kids who are in these ages. By the time they got to college, they were already gone. About 60% of the children and teens sitting in our chairs and pews each Sunday will disappear in the coming years. Oh, this breaks my heart. If this is going to happen here, this will break my heart, your heart as well. And I've talked already to a few of you, and this has happened already to some of us. Because the danger here is this. We think that they will understand more and we will disciple them more when they are adults. When they reach college level, then we'll do more there. Then we'll disciple more there. Then we will do Bible studies with them. That's what we see in a survey. If you don't start early on, the young generation, you already have lost them there. So that they might not leave the church now, because of course they live with you, and if they don't go to church, no lunch in school, right? You'll be grounded, right? So they're going to church. Some of them might come to church because that's the rule. But eventually, when they are going to have their own house and they're going to have their own family, that's when you realize, actually the reality is you have lost them early on, we just didn't notice. Because you know what? Discipleship doesn't just happen. Discipleship is an answer to the call of Christ. It's obedience. So that you intentionally make time for it. Just like you intentionally make time for work. Because you need to work. You need to intentionally have that time with your kids. Daily. Teaching them. You have a curriculum. You have the Bible there. You have prayer time there. You have discussion there. Every day of your life, you involve Christianity there in your life. Dearly beloved, when Joshua died, open your Bibles to Judges chapter 2, verse 10. When Joshua died, the leader of God's people after Moses, look at what happened here. Judges chapter 2, verse number 10. When all the generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. Just one generation. After a powerful leader died, not even decades. Just right after Joshua died, a generation would gather with their fathers, and then another, just the next generation, they did not know the Lord. That's how close we are to having a generation who do not know the Lord. Dearly beloved, what will happen to CMBC's next generation when you and I are all long gone? We won't be here forever. This is our time. This is the challenge for us today to intentionally make disciples. I submit to you, there is only one way for us to go as a church, and that is to continually grow for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it to be intentional in discipleship today. We have wonderful programs. We praise the Lord for our ministers with Awana. They have done wonderful things. We need to expand from that. We need to expand to our teens and to our adults. We need to make this a church thing. Because what we have seen, kids are not the only ones needing to grow. We all need to grow. So here's the conclusion that we have for this morning. Number one, pray for wisdom. We need to pray for wisdom for the church leadership as we steer our church into an intentional disciple-making church. Study what we're doing, which are the things that are effective, not so effective. What do we need to do more, do less, so that we don't get spread thinly? What are some things that are not contributory to spiritual maturity, but maybe important to relationship building? We need to retain that. No, pray for the church leadership. Number two, pray for revival, for families. For families. So that fathers and mothers make discipleship intentional in the home. Intentional. Again, that word, intentional. In the home. Because the church, yes, can only do so much. And the discipleship command to the kids are not given direct to the church. You see, it's given to the parents. But if the parents neglect that and just give that all to the church, that will not work. The church can supplement. The church can probably assist. The church can probably add. But the church is not commanded to do what the mothers and fathers are supposed to be doing with their kids. Discipling them in the home. So yes, as we look at our church and see programs, dearly beloved, from my heart to yours, let me say this, that the church will never ever go out of bounds to take over your ministry to your kids. But we're here to go alongside with you, to help, to assist, to pray, to encourage. If you need some direction to what materials, what books, what some techniques, or what, we can have a family forum where we can talk and we can share what we're doing, you know, to assist others. We can talk in a way that we're all learning from each other biblically. There are a lot of young families here. There are a lot of older families as well. Couples who have already grown up children, and so we can learn from them what things they did right, and some of them already have professed, Pastor, I am even willing to say and share what things I did wrong so that I can be a blessing. So pray for revival in that. But thirdly, pray for obedience. Pray for obedience, not just for others, but for me, for everyone, to intentionally get involved in Christ's local disciple-making program so that everyone is a discipler, or maybe everyone who are not discipling may be disciples to begin with, But our aim is multiplication, right? Our aim is that when you join that group, maybe we would call it growth group or discipleship group or whatever we call it, the aim is that this group will not stay like this group forever, but this group will expand. But someday, the disciples will also become disciplers themselves. Who are we going to disciple? That's why we need to win souls. Right? That's why we need to win souls. We need to go out and reach the lost. So as we do that, the process continues. And that's how, dearly beloved, I'm really not so overly concerned with numbers, to tell you honestly. I'm more concerned, that's what Jesus Christ was concerned about, on more on not the growth in numbers, but growth on the spiritual maturity. Because I have seen this over and over again, if you just focus there, we will grow in numbers as well. As the Lord will give, produce to the work He's doing through us. So don't be concerned with numbers too much. Okay? I know we desire that the church will grow and we're going to be a mega church here in the Blue Mountains. We're going to have a 1,500-seater auditorium. That's wonderful. I'm excited for that too. Let's do that. But let's start here with the 40, 50 that we have here. You know? And someday, maybe not another generation, the next generation, they will have that same exact passion for discipleship because we have shown them what it is to answer the plain call of God. The powerful, personal call of God. And the pivotal, very crucial call of God. This is our call, dearly beloved. My call and your call. Let's start praying. Let's start planning. Let's start meeting. And let's see how God would mightily work. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your example, Jesus Christ, and how you discipled those men. Thank you for the example of the Apostle Paul that we see in the Word with him discipling Timothy. And there are many others, oh God, that are not mentioned in the Word, but are included in that faithful man who taught others and so that it reached down to us. And Lord, may it not stop in our lives. And so, Lord, help us to see these coming days or weeks how we can start this. Handpick who can be the disciplers and who needs to grow further, knowing that actually if we're discipling, we're also growing still. Everybody's growing. But I pray that in humility and submission, we will move forward together. So, Lord, now by the Spirit, impress upon our heart this deep longing to make disciples. And let it not fly away, let it not be lost, but continue to remind us and nudge us and impress upon us this important call. So that, Lord, we will never sleep up until we have, on a corporate level, on an individual level, answered your call. I know you have a lot of questions, oh Lord, especially on a personal level. We have a lot of questions on how to do it, where and how, or what does it entail. But Lord, for now, Lord, make our hearts tender to just say, yes, Lord, here am I. Send me, use me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.